Hello, everyone. Dave Levinsky here from Growth Inc., and I'm really excited today to be able to interview Ken Yancey. Ken is the CEO of SCORE, and probably a lot of you know who SCORE is, but if not, SCORE is a nonprofit association who's dedicated to educating entrepreneurs and to the formation, growth, and success of small businesses nationwide. In his role as CEO, Ken represents SCORE nationally and is responsible for SCORE's network of 370 offices and over 11,000 volunteers nationwide. Ken speaks nationally on the topics of entrepreneurship, nonprofit management, and small business trends and mentoring. He has appeared on MSNBC, CNN, CNBC, Fox, PBS, and numerous other national and regional radio programs. Prior to SCORE, Ken served as executive director of the National Business Association, and earlier he had held executive positions in the banking industry and others. So in these functions, Ken focused strongly on loans to small businesses and obviously understands the small business space. And so based on his background, I thought Ken would be the perfect person to speak with today about the role of advisors in the capital raising process and a lot of other wealth information that he has. So, Ken, I appreciate you taking the time to speak with me today.
Dave, very nice of you to have me. Thank you.
Excellent. So, Ken, can we start with some basic definitions? And the first one being, you know, what is an advisory board?
You know, Dave, an advisory board is a group of individuals that an entrepreneur, a small business owner might assemble for the purposes of providing advice and counsel. It becomes a sounding board. It becomes an interested party that is focused on the goals that you have set for your company and is committed to giving you advice, taking you to task when it's appropriate, and helping you to achieve those goals.
Excellent. So how does that compare or contrast with a board of directors? Is that a different type of thing?
You know, it absolutely is a different type of thing. A board member typically has some level of ownership in the company and is, even in a nonprofit setting, is liable, has a fiduciary responsibility, and in the event that there are problems or challenges in the organization, they can be held accountable for those problems or challenges in a legal setting. So the advisory board is merely, again, a group of interested parties that have specific skills that are going to be valuable to you as an entrepreneur as you develop and build your company. That board might be investors, it might be shareholders of some type that are there not only to advise but also have legal responsibility in your company.
Got it. Now, you mentioned skills. What skills, based on your experience with probably thousands of entrepreneurs and small businesses, what do you think are the key skills that advisors tend to bring to the table?
You know, I think you choose your advisors based on the skills that you believe you need to do a better job of running your business. I got some really, I think, some decent examples. You might be really strong in technology, but not that strong in the fundraising environment or something like that. And so you would want someone that understood capital markets, that understood finance, that maybe had contacts in those arenas that would be willing to introduce you or would add value around that. So I think the way that you build your advisory board is dependent on what you want to accomplish. And from a SCORE standpoint, we have an advisory board and in a lot of different areas. I have an advisory board of volunteers that have specific technology experience that adds great value in my technology staff. I have a marketing advisory board, again, made up of executives that have marketing backgrounds, both in small businesses as well as in large companies, and we use them as a sounding board to bounce ideas off of and challenges and things of that nature. So lots of ways to do that.
Excellent. So what you're saying, just to reiterate, is that, you know, really figure out what skill sets you're lacking, and then you can create an advisory board based on that. And in your case, have actually multiple advisory boards based on specific functional areas.
You know, for our purposes, yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, just very specifically with SCORE, while we're a rather large organization, we only have 16 paid people. So we don't have a huge staff to work with on these topics. So what we've done is the same thing we ask these entrepreneurs to do. Find a SCORE advisor that brings the talents and abilities to the table that you need and use them. And so we do that ourselves.
Excellent. What about specifically a lot of the entrepreneurs and business owners that are listening to this interview have this capital raising need? And can you talk a little bit about the role that advisors and advisory boards can play in the capital raising process?
Absolutely. I think that there are a number of key roles that they can play, and let's start at the start. Having an advisory board that includes folks that have made pitches to angel investment groups, angel investors, to venture capitalists, and understand what that presentation needs to look like, how it needs to be structured, what the process exactly is, I think would be invaluable to an entrepreneur as he or she begins the process and prepares to go in front of these different groups. Those individuals that have done it before, or maybe you want someone that has been an angel investor or has worked in a venture capital environment that would have contacts, that would be able to pick up the phone and get you an interview or get you an audience with a potential funder or someone that would have the ability to ultimately get you in front of a potential funder. That's the kind of value that they bring. And clearly, once you're successful, you've got a whole new round of opportunities and challenges as you begin to keep those new stakeholders informed of how you're running your business, how you're using that capital, what the plans are, what the projections are, you know, where you are in terms of growth or launch or whatever it happens to be, and having, again, an advisor that has been through that, that could look at those reports and advise you on direction and content and status would be remarkably helpful.
Okay, so as an entrepreneur, I'm sitting here listening, and I'm sold. You know, I think it's a pretty compelling argument you have. I'm looking for capital. I'm looking to grow my business. Advisors sound like clearly the missing piece. So how, as an entrepreneur, do I go out and find and recruit advisors?
You know, a number of different ways that you can do that, Dave, and I would start with your circle of contacts, people that you know. Who do you know that brings value to your company that you're comfortable calling on and asking, would you be on an advisory board? Would you be a mentor on this topic to me or to my management team? And I would be specific. This is what that means. That means that I would like to have a structured one-hour conference call with you once a month, once a week, depending on what it is, and a face-to-face meeting once a quarter or twice a year, whatever it is that you believe is going to fill the bill. And it's not uncommon either for individuals to reach beyond their own networks to find advisors that are willing to be involved. You know, given what I do, I can tell you that there are many, many people that want to give back because they've been successful and they want to see others successful. I have 11,200 of those folks that volunteer for SCORE and help small business owners and people that want to get started. So it's not uncommon to find someone that has a philanthropic interest and just wants to help. You know, advisory boards could be compensated. They're going to want to have some sort of return on the time that they invest. It might be just the level of engagement and the enjoyment that they get from that. It might be that, you know, the meeting that you hold is at a great restaurant or at a great venue. It might be, in some instances, that there's some sort of remuneration that might be available, but not always. And those are decisions that you would need to make based on your company's capabilities and your interests and the interests of those advisors. So when it's all said and done, there are a lot of places that you can find those advisors, and clearly you can find them in organizations like SCORE. That's what we do as an organization, is act as mentors and advisors. You can go to your nearest chapter and pull together a group of our volunteers that can help you. You can do the same thing with the small business development centers. If you happen to be around a women's business center, that's another good place. There are other organized groups. Vistage is a really interesting group, formerly known as TECH, where they put together non-competitive businesses and they act as coaches, mentors, and advisors to one another. Now, that's not an inexpensive process, but for those of you that have been in it, they find it remarkably valuable and well worth the money. So a lot of ways that can be done.
Excellent. I just want to reiterate a couple things that you said. One is that definitely going to your local SCORE office and finding out the mentors and advisors that are available to you. A second thing, that the compensation issue is that you're mentioning that there's varied compensation, that sometimes they just like the enjoyment, giving back, and sometimes there might be some remuneration. So I guess you negotiate that directly with your, based on your situation and the advisors you're speaking with.
Mm-hmm. And please know that the SCORE services are always free. It doesn't cost anything at all to engage a SCORE volunteer.
Okay, so that's obviously, for everyone listening, that seems to be a no-brainer way to find help. So you should definitely check that out. And I believe it's score.org. Is that correct, Ken?
That's correct, Dave. Thank you.
Okay, great. And then the other thing you said was structuring, which I think is very, very interesting in that it's, you know, when you speak to a potential advisor, I think that being clear about, hey, we're going to meet, you know, once a week or once a month, I think is important. Maybe you could talk a little bit more about that, about structuring the advisors.
Sure. Speaking for me personally, I appreciate it and like very much when people make good use of my time. And so if someone wanted me to be an advisor, if I wanted someone to be advisor, I would want to be very clear on how that relationship was structured. And again, I would schedule it. It's once a week with a face-to-face meeting quarterly. We're going to do once a week for an hour. I'm going to have an agenda to the group 2 days ahead of time so that you can think about it. And then I'll always keep 15 minutes of the agenda for you to ask me questions about other issues in the business that you want to know about or you're interested in or that would add value. So I think that people appreciate that, and the types of people that we're talking about getting to advise your business are likely going to be busy people, and they're going to be used to being in an environment where they know what to expect and they can be prepared and they can contribute at a really high level without investing, or let's back up, without wasting a whole bunch of their time. So I'm really high on agendas, even for 20-minute calls. I'm really high on agendas.
Agreed. Particularly, you know, the busier the people, the better it is. Also, if as the entrepreneur, you have to figure out what your goals are for each meeting, and I guess the agenda is going to help you to make sure that you, at the end of the meeting, that you've accomplished what you've wanted to.
Absolutely.
Another point that I want to mention is that a lot of the entrepreneurs listening and business owners listening, there are now going out to or will be going out to investors to raise capital. One thing that I've said a lot of times is that if you can't convince an advisor to simply invest their time, it's not simply, but to invest their time, it's going to be extremely hard to compel an investor to invest their time and dollars as well. So I think it's a great process to teach you how to raise capital is to, you know, go out there and find advisors. Although in getting SCORE advisors, I think it's quite a bit easier than that, correct?
Well, it is easier than that, Dave, and I think that is an outstanding point. You know, friend raising is sometimes is challenging and always a good experience when you're getting ready to do fundraising. And I think that's really important. Now, from a SCORE standpoint, you know, we do have 11,200 volunteers. They're in a range of skills and abilities in terms of business management and funding and startup and exit. And they're available in any one of the 370 offices that you mentioned. The best place to start your journey with SCORE is on the website at score.org. And you know, you can there actually look for a mentor online. We counsel online via email, Dave, and you can put in your question or your topic, and they'll will serve back to you the volunteers that are available that have the skills and abilities to answer that question, and you can email them directly. A good way to get started. A number of our chapters are actually offering a service of putting together an advisory board for you. They would interview you, understand your business, you can talk about what your challenges are, and they would pick between, you know, 2 and 5 volunteers that could work with you on a periodic basis to achieve the goals that you've set for your business. So lots of ways to engage SCORE, and beyond just the mentoring and advising, there's a wealth of information on our websites, links to other quality resources, not only in your community, but at the national level. So there's a lot of information and a lot of value in addition to the opportunity to sit down with one of these seasoned business professionals that can help you. And it's interesting that 11,200 member group, Dave, represents about 300,000 years of business experience. And
wow.
Those folks have been through, I would bet that this is either their third, maybe fourth recession. So the been there, done that factor is high.
Excellent. I need to reiterate one of the points that you just mentioned, which was the fact that you guys offer service to put together your advisory board. Because I actually personally may take you up on that one, and I can't see any entrepreneur listening that doesn't take score up on that offer, because having an advisory board is invaluable. The process of getting an advisory board is very time-consuming, and it's hard. The fact that score is already put together advisors with a lot of experience that are willing to do it and have the service to help you put it together, that's truly awesome. So definitely, I think everyone should take advantage of that, because that's tons of value for no cost that should definitely leverage. Next question I have is, what do you think makes a difference between a good advisory board and a great advisory board?
I think a great advisory board is going to be very comfortable and see it as their role to challenge you as an entrepreneur and the leader in a business. I think that the last thing you would want an advisory board to be is a rubber stamp that says, oh, great idea, and you clap each other on the back and you go have a cup of coffee or lunch or whatever. I think that would be a real tragedy given what you're trying to accomplish. I think that a board that will push and that will ask the tough questions and that will assure that you're achieving all that you can possibly achieve given resources and times, I think that's what you need. And that's why sometimes having, you know, a close friend on an advisory board probably isn't the best idea, or maybe having a family member, again, probably not the best idea. It could be, and you need to analyze those situations on your own, but you really want someone that's gonna push you and make you better rather than tell you how good you already are.
Got it. That's a good point. Can you talk about briefly we talked about the contrasting with board of directors, and we were talking to some entrepreneurs that raise venture capital, and they were talking about how with the venture capitalists, you need to make sure that they are a good personality fit with you, particularly because the venture capital is going to take a board seat, which is basically giving them some control over your company, and you lose, give up enough board seats, and they could, vote you out as the CEO. So how does that, personality fit? Does the same hold true for advisors?
Well, I think it does. Again, you want to choose people that you're comfortable with, that you trust, and that you respect, and that when they challenge you and when they shove on ideas and push numbers around and poke at things that might be a little bit uncomfortable, you have enough respect for them to recognize that what they're doing is in your best interest, and they're trying to make you better, not trying to bring you down or cause a problem. And there's a fine line there, so it needs to be people that you're comfortable with, you're comfortable with their style, their personality, and you have enough respect for that you're willing to listen and, endure a little constructive criticism, because, again, it's all about making you better in a coaching, mentoring, advising type environment.
It's a key point. I speak to myself a ton of entrepreneurs, and there's a fair amount of them that really just don't want to hear the constructive criticism for one reason or another. And that's why I think making sure it's someone you respect is a key thing, so that you actually listen to them and you force yourself to listen, because, I've been around the block many a time. There's still tons of things that I have to learn. As everyone is, until the day I die, there'll be a lot of things to learn. So I think it's a key point, is having to make sure that you really respect them, because that's when you can get the most out of them.
Yeah, we all hope that we'll continue to learn until the day we die. And, the other thing is maybe you do have the right idea. So having somebody push and shove and question and poke, and you be able to successfully defend that, and convince them that you're on the right track, the best rehearsal you could have for being in front of an investor at any point in time.
That's a great point. What about if you had to share three keys to forming an effective advisory board? What would they be in order of priority?
I think number one, you want to be very clear on what you want to accomplish by using an advisory board. Why are you doing it? And what kinds of people are going to be valuable in moving you towards that goal, that vision, that desire, whatever it happens to be. I think the second thing is how you choose them and who you choose. And again, being very careful to make sure that they understand what their commitment is and what your expectations are so that you don't have any issues down the road and everybody's on the same page and it all works. I think the third thing is really pretty simple. You know, you put a group together like this, you need to listen to them. And we've seen, and you know, quite honestly, we've seen in our own company, we put advisory groups together, and then they give advice, and we haven't acted on it. And that's not, I mean, that wastes everybody's time. So I think whatever it is you do when you put this together, you put it together for a reason. You built the team with great purpose and with great consideration. Now use them. And listen to them and learn from them and allow them to do, you know, help you do, achieve your goals, do what you want to accomplish or accomplish what you want to accomplish. So I think the last one is just to make sure you listen to them and use them well.
Got it. Now, on that point about using them well, I could see a lot of entrepreneurs, business owners going out there, creating an advisory board, being really excited at first, using them, but possibly having that advisory board sort of fizzle out that you sort of lose the structure, maybe do it every month for like 5 months, and then you start slipping. Have you seen that? And if so, are there any tips to making sure that you can keep that board active?
You know, that certainly can happen. My thought is that if you've put together the right team and they have the right focus, you're going to look forward to that call or to that conversation, and it's not going to fizzle. A good thing to do when you start is to create a sunset for the group. Tell them that you want them to be, or you want an advisory group, and it's going to operate for a year. And on the last call, you're going to evaluate your effectiveness. Let them tell you what, if they believe that they're contributing and getting back what they need to feel confident, and you can do the same, and just have an overall assessment of the relationship and the value of the advisory board. If after the first 10 meetings you've accomplished all that you want and you're not excited about and don't feel like it's an invaluable investment of your time, which you know probably better than I, Dave, that time is your most valuable asset. If it's no longer a good investment of that asset, then you need to disband the group and move on to something else.
That's a good point. It goes back to your number one key before, which was to be clear about what you want to accomplish. And I guess what you're saying is that you need to keep assessing that and figure out. You know, I like the idea of saying, hey, this is a year advisory board, and then at that point, either a month, 6 months, or at that year ending point, to sit down and think about once again, what do you want to accomplish as a business, and how can that board help you get there?
I think it's critical. We do have one, our primary advisory board, which is made up of some of our volunteer leaders, about nine of them. I actually really look forward to the calls once a month, and they look forward to it too. We have almost 100% of attendance almost 100% of the time because it's a good dialogue. Everybody's comfortable. We have outstanding discussions. We have great arguments and a few fights, and we all walk out arm in arm better for having spent the time. So it's something that I hope that we can continue to do. And it is an annual advisory board. It is reconfigured every year.
Excellent. Any tips or ideas for those meetings to make the meetings most productive? You talked about having an agenda. Is there anything else that you do in those meetings to make them more productive?
You know, the agenda is key. We have one or two specific topics that we want to try to work on in each meeting. We provide an update on decisions or issues that have been addressed previously. I think it's really important for an advisory council or a mentor to have a closed loop. If they've suggested that you do some things and you've agreed to do it, did you do it? What did you find, and were the results what you thought they should be, and are there any adjustments or any things that need to be done now that you've accomplished that? Did it solve your problem? So I think that closing that communication loop is really important. And then we always try to leave time at the end of a call that we have for dialogue. What do they want to know about the business? We try to give them a brief update on our goals and what we're achieving and not achieving. Then we talk about those issues. We close the loop on previous conversations, and then we have an open dialogue for them to ask questions about the things that they're interested in. And again, I don't know if that's magic, but it's working for us.
Excellent. You mentioned the word call. Do you typically do in-person meetings, or are you a mixture of in-person and call, or completely virtual?
We do conference call meetings monthly and one face-to-face meeting. And our face-to-face meeting lasts a day and a half, and we typically start with a great meal, a celebration, and you know, catching up on each other's lives and so on, and then move full out into business the other day.
Got it. So is your advisory group less regionalized, less local, and more national-based?
My advisory group is national.
Now, what would you recommend for an entrepreneur or small business? Would you recommend to have it locally so you can do face-to-face more often?
I think that if you can find the talent that you want locally, I think that's great. And the opportunity to have low-cost face-to-face meetings is optimal. Having said that, if you need talent that's outside, or if there's particular people that you want that aren't there, you know, once you get through those initial meeting dynamics, I find that you can have very, very effective conference calls.
I think that's a great point, because I think that when I was personally visualizing a lot of the things that you were saying, I had personally been visualizing face-to-face, and I agree with you that, you know, nothing can take away, you know, face-to-face is awesome, and you can never beat that, but you still can do a lot of things virtually. And,
absolutely.
You know, you want to get the best talent that you can for your team.
Mm-hmm. And there's so many great tools now that allow you to share PowerPoints and share documents online as you talk on the phone. You know, there's Skype where you can see each other and do these things if you choose to. So there's lots of ways to use technology so that you don't spend so much time and so much money on airplanes and in airports and taxi cabs and rent cars and all of those other things that go with business travel.
Got it. So moving back to the score, now thinking about this more virtually and less geographically, can somebody use score to find a very specific type of expertise in one of the score counselors?
Yes.
Regardless of location.
That's correct. The best way to start is online. You'll see our Ask Score capability at the very center top of the website at score.org. You can put in keywords there if you're, access to capital, venture capital, working capital. It might be marketing. It could be I want to start a restaurant. I want to buy a franchise. Whatever it happens to be, you can put those words or put that question in the dialogue box. And we have over 1,500 counselors that are available online, and they're available by skill. So what will come up is a skill list that matches what your question is, and each of those volunteers with their skills will also have a brief bio. So if you were interested in the restaurant business, and you wanted to start a fine dining restaurant, you could look at their bio and see whether or not they were in fine dining or catering or fast food or what, and you could narrow your search. You can also narrow your search. We have a number of different languages that are available. You can narrow your search by geography. If you only want a venture capitalist or only want someone with marketing experience in Michigan, You can make that choice. If you would prefer to work with a woman as opposed to a man, which is fine, you can make that choice. A number of different ways that you can adjust your query to get exactly the person that you want. And then, of course, you can always go to the local chapter.
Got it. Now, you talked about the motivations of the SCORE members and the advisors earlier, wanting to give back. What is the is there a typical profile? Are most of the SCORE counselors and mentors, are most of them former business owners, former executives? I know you no longer, the old SCORE acronym, is that no longer in use with the retired executives?
We don't use that any longer. Today we use SCORE, Counselors to America's Small Business. Today, Dave, about 22% of our volunteers, the new volunteers that are coming in, are still actively working. We're finding that about 8 to 10% of new volunteers coming in are between positions, which is great, and we appreciate their willingness to volunteer. And the balance are retired, but still very active. In terms of experience, 63% of the new volunteers that are coming to us have had small business experience in their careers. They may have worked for a Fortune 500 company for a period of time, but also owned a business or worked in a small business. So they do have that hands-on experience. Some only have big company experience, but that's terrific, particularly to when you start talking about planning and budgeting and reporting and marketing. Those big company skills do translate to smaller companies, and they're very valuable. So lots of ways to do that. We have former government people that can talk about procurement. We have educators. We have all kinds of folks that are available.
Excellent. The other thing you mentioned with people that worked at large organizations, if any small business ever wants to sell into a large organization, that's another area of expertise that they could definitely use, because it's very, very different.
It is different. Procurement is an important thing these days, and I got to say, Dave, with all of the money that's going to the states right now through the stimulus package, there are going to be billions of dollars let in contracts at the state and local level that many, many, many small businesses are going to get. So being properly registered to do business with your state, your county, your local municipality, and having a real clear statement of capabilities so that they'll know what you can do, and staying on top of that, I think is really worthwhile these days.
Excellent. And you're saying, once again, that the SCORE counselors can help with that?
Absolutely.
Excellent. One more question on the advisory boards. Are there any common mistakes or pitfalls that entrepreneurs should avoid when it comes to advisory boards?
I'd go back to a couple of things that we talked about, Dave. Number one, you don't want your advisory board to be a rubber stamp. You don't want a bunch of your buddies on there that are just going to say, yeah, you're great, now let's go play golf, or let's go have some coffee, or go on a bike ride, whatever it is. You don't want to surround yourself with people that are just going to be supporting what you say. I think the other issue is, it would be a tragedy to have a great advisory board and not take their advice and not use them effectively. That's a waste of everybody's time, and nobody wants to be involved in something like that, an advisory board that never meets. And we've all been on one. Now, you probably have too, Dave. I've been on a couple where, I'm on an advisory board. They want you to put it on your resume. They certainly put your name on their stuff, but you never do anything, and you don't feel like you're contributing, and that's not valuable to anybody either. So I think those are the two biggest issues. Maybe finally, once you've gotten the value out of it, don't hesitate to shut it down, to cut it loose. So that when the time comes, I think everybody, again, appreciates you using their time effectively, and if they're no longer going to add value, they'd rather know than just to bumble along doing nothing.
That's a very good, very good point. And we have an advisor that I use on certain issues, and there's sometimes that I really don't need it. Even that week, we meet every week, and so definitely I agree with that. Is that some weeks it's better to say, hey, let's not meet now, or let's end the relationship, than just have it, because it ends up wasting people's time.
I find that to be respectful, and I like that a lot.
Excellent. What's your favorite part of your day as the CEO of SCORE?
I really enjoy two things. I enjoy the interaction that I have with our volunteers. They're terrific people. They are philanthropic in nature. Most of them volunteer at several other organizations other than just SCORE. They really do have a heart for giving back and a desire to make things better and use their time and talent to accomplish that. And the other thing that's just really wonderful, and I don't get to do it often, I love interacting with the clients. To be out in a meeting where there's a few hundred small business owners, there's nothing in the world that provides as much energy and enthusiasm as that. We have a big event coming up in California next week with Open from American Express, and we'll have 500 small business owners. And when you walk in that room, it will just be buzzing. And really, really enjoy that. I enjoy meeting them and understanding their stories and seeing how they have overcome any number of different obstacles and challenges and opportunities to be successful and thrive. And that's why we do what we do. Is to help people be successful and thrive, and it's great to see.
Excellent. I have one final question for you, which is a very, very broad general question. Is, what else should our listeners know about, you have a lot of experience in forming advisory boards and helping entrepreneurs and business owners grow. What other key information do you think our listeners should know about those topics that you've seen day in, day out that could really help entrepreneurs and business owners successfully grow their businesses?
Well, I think that somebody said a long time ago, the key to success to start with is just showing up, and I think that to get good information and not act on it is really unfortunate. You can do a lot with an advisory board, and an advisory board doesn't have to be 10 people; it can be 2, it can be 1 if that's the way you want to start. But recognize that, there are people out there that have the ability to help and add value and that are willing to help and add value and take advantage. And one way to motivate yourself is to know that you may not be doing it, but the chances are your competitor is. And, every leg up that you can have, everything that you can do to differentiate product or service and to add value is important and particularly important in these challenging times. So I hope that that folks would act on it. Now, they may do some research analysis and find that it doesn't fit, and that's great. But they really do need to consider it, shake the trees, and see if they can come up with something that's going to help them be more successful in their pursuits.
Excellent. Ken, that was extremely helpful. I really appreciate it. I think that all of the entrepreneurs and business owners that listen to this interview are going to get a ton out of it, and hopefully they're going to take some of the advice that you gave them about starting advisory boards, leveraging the resource at SCORE, because as per the last point you said, if your competitor is doing it and getting all that great advice and counsel, you better be doing it. Or if they're not doing it, you can do it and get great competitive advantage. So once again, Ken, I really appreciate your time today.
Dave, thanks for having me. Thanks for all that you and Growth Inc. do. We appreciate it.